السلام علیکم ورحمت اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. کنٹینیوئنگ ود دا بایوگرافی آف سیدنا عثمان رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ. سو وی ناؤ کم ٹو دا لیٹر دیٹ ہی روٹ ٹو دا کمانڈرز آف دا مجاہدین اور دا جنرلز آف دا آرمیز ایز وی ول سی. سو ہی رائٹس ان دا فرسٹ لیٹر دیٹ ہی روٹ ٹو دیم, یو آر دا گارڈینز آف دا مسلمز and their shield. Umar radiallahu anh gave you a particular mission which is not hidden from us. Rather, it is known to everyone. I do not want to hear that any one of you has changed the deal, lest Allah Ta'ala will replace you with someone else. So watch what you do, and I shall try my best to fulfill the mission that Allah Ta'ala has enjoined on me. In other words, exactly as you were serving under Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh, all the rules, all the principles that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh had put in place, continue with that. I have been charged now with being the Amir al-Mu'mineen. I will try and fulfill my duty properly. You all fulfill yours duty properly. One beautiful point to take from here. You see, Uthman radiallahu anh, how much he treasured the ways of his elders. Today, we want to change everything. Say, no, that was for that time, man. No, they, you know, now, those ulama, they don't understand the dynamics today. No such thing. You just stick to the same usuls, same principles, there'll be khair in there. Like how they were successful, we'll be successful. Today when we're changing everything, see the old people, the haya they had, the rules they had in the houses, everything, families were happy. Today they say, hey, old people, what they know? What they know? They went toilet outside. They were backward. Today we got toilet in the bedroom. We gone forward. We have advanced. We brought the toilet, the napak thing, put inside the bedroom, and we have advanced. They were eating inside, going toilet outside. We going toilet inside, we eating outside. But we think we have progressed and advanced. So we must take from our elders, what our elders were doing, there'll be success in there. Gee. So that was a letter that he wrote to the commanders. Now we come to the letter that Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anh wrote to the people who were charged with collecting the zakat. Let's remember now, in those days, people didn't have money. There were no banks and all one deposit and all that. So people had animals. So now the zakat had to be taken. Now how the zakat is taken? You count how many animals, then you take that many animals as zakat. You got 100 sheep or 100 goats now. The fiqh kitab's got all the details. I don't know it by heart. Now for 100 goats, how many goats you have to give as zakat? Now if you got 300 goats, then how many you have to give as zakat? Camels, if you got so many of this age, that age, how many you have to give as zakat? So now the zakat collectors had to go to fetch these animals. Then other people had gold, they had silver. Now they had to pay zakat on their gold and silver. Now you needed a zakat collector who can work these things out. He can weigh, work out the values, take that much, and bring it. Right? Then people had stock in trade. Right? People were, then there was also like land tax in certain places. Right? All the details are found in the fiqh kitabs. Right? If the owner of the farm, if he is incurring expenses to water the land, then there's a different masla. And if the land is being watered by a river or something, that means he's not incurring any expenses, then there's a different masla. If a Muslim is farming, it's a different masla. If a non-Muslim is farming in a Muslim land, it's a different masla. Right? So these zakat collectors now had to go and collect all these things. So Uthman radiallahu anh, he wrote a letter to them also. So what he wrote in this letter, Allah Ta'ala created on the basis of truth, and he accepts nothing but that which is based on truth. So take what is due, in other words, take from the people what is due, what zakat they have to pay, and give the people their dues. Give the people their dues on the basis of Allah Ta'ala's teachings. Don't take more from them. And whatever is owed to them, give it to them. And then the zakat money also, who it needs to be distributed to and all that, that too must be done fairly. I urge you to adhere to honesty. Pay a great deal of attention to it and do not be the first to neglect honesty. Always be honest. Fulfill the covenants and do not wrong the orphans. Do not wrong the non-Muslims. See how fair and how fair Islam is. That the non-Muslims who have a treaty with the Muslims, don't oppress them. Don't wrong them. For Allah Ta'ala will be the opponent of the one who wrongs them. In other words, Allah will take revenge. Must remember, zulam that is made on anyone, Allah doesn't tolerate. Even you make zulam on non-Muslims, Allah doesn't tolerate it. Whoever the zulam is made on, Allah doesn't tolerate it. So this letter was addressed exclusively to those who were in charge of going around collecting the zakat money, whatever else needed to be collected for the Baytul Mal. Right? And then Uthman radiallahu anh wrote a letter to the masses. This was a general letter for the whole ummah. Must remember now, there's no radio, eh? There's no, what you call WhatsApp and social media. So, Usman radiallahu anh, he could address the people in Madina Munawwara, but now there's people in Basra, there's people in Kufa, there's people, different parts of the Muslim world. The Muslim world that time was 2/3 of the then known world. So now, what is the message from the Amirul Mu'mineen to the masses of the Muslim Ummah? Amirul Mu'mineen has come into power now. He has come now onto this zimmedari, his responsibility. So what is his message to the Ummah? So this was now written, then it would be sent to all the different Islamic centers and in all the big masajid, etc. It would be read out. And this is the message from Amirul Mu'mineen. So this letter, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anh, he writes in this letter, you have achieved whatever you have achieved by following the Quran and the Sunnah. In other words, all the successes that we're seeing, all the victories against our enemies, the financial stability that has come about, all these things that we are witnessing, these great, great ni'mats, it has come about only by you following the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah of Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So do not let worldly affairs distract you from the real thing that matters. Don't get so engrossed in the dunya. Today this is what has happened. Right? The world has engrossed us. It has engulfed us. The main work that we have to do, that has been sidelined. That has been sidelined. Right? And our deen now, that is taking up a very small part of our day. Majority of our day is in dunya. You take the average person, he's leaving home half past six in the morning. He's coming back home 6:30 in the evening. 12 hours he's putting. Allah alone knows whether he even read Fajr namaz, whether he read Zohar namaz. If he read Zohar namaz, what type of Zohar namaz? And what he's doing for this whole 12 hours? Hey, I'm working, man. Working. I go to battle the traffic, get to work, working all day I'm on my feet. Whole day I'm on my feet doing what? earning the world. Right? He comes home, now sometime he missed his Asr namaz too, he's in the traffic, Maghrib namaz, he's reading at home, alone, not in Jamaat. Isha namaz, he's too tired, Ishaara, read at home, or maybe he goes for Jamaat. Majority don't go. Majority don't go. What's the proof of that? You go to the masajid in the residential areas and the CBDs and whatever. Go there for Jummah. See how many people are in the masjid. Now go there for Fajr and see how many people are in the masjid. Go there for Asr and see how many people are in the masjid. Go there for Maghrib and Isha and see how many people are in the masjid. I know one masjid that I was for some time making imamat there. So the average for Fajr, Maghrib, Isha, because the masjid was in a residential area, so Zohar time and Asr time hardly anybody is there. Zohar time maybe one saf. Right? Asr time the Hibs boys are there a little bit, so maybe two safs. Right? A little bit more than two saf. Right? But for Fajr, Maghrib and Isha, three saf, three and a half safs. Right? But the same masjid, Jummah time, 10 subs, 11 subs. Initially, the size that the masjid was built became too small. We have to extend the masjid. But only for Jummah. All the other namazes, 3 subs, 3 and a half subs. But for Jummah Salah, the masjid is packed up. So where all the people came from? And you can't say that no, these people came from another area. Because every masjid is the same story. For the normal namazes, you'll get about 20% to 30% of the amount of people that come for Jummah. Right? So that means majority people are not coming to the masjid for their 5 daily salah with Jamaat. Right? And if you have to ask why, because we caught up in dunya. Other man is gone to the gym. Other fellow is gone to play paddle. Other fellow is gone with his friends somewhere. Other fellow is doing sports training. He's gone for soccer coaching. So this is what Usman Radhiallahu Anhu is saying. Don't let worldly affairs distract you from the thing that really matters. This ummah will start to follow innovations after three things happen to you. You start following bid'at, innovations, when three things will happen. Number one, when all kinds of luxury are attained. Number two, when the children of your female slaves reach puberty. And number three, when the Bedouin and non-Arabs start reading the Quran Sharif. Right? Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Al-Kufru fil-Ujmah, fa-idha sta'jama alayhim amrun, takallafu wabtada'u. Kufr results from not understanding Arabic. When they are faced with something that they do not understand, they will make it complicated and they will introduce innovations. That's why this alim cause is so important. Because the masses in our community don't understand Arabic. See, yesterday, I'm explaining to one person that, see, your husband divorced you. So, your husband is only responsible for you for the period of the iddah. Whatever you benefited from him while you were married to him, fine. Whatever gifts he gave you, that is yours. He can't take it back. Meher he gave you, that belongs to you. Jewelry he gave you, that belongs to you. If while you were married to him, he took you for Umrah, he took you for Hajj, he took you overseas holiday, he bought for you this clothing, that clothing, all that is yours. If he bought for you one car, that belongs to you. If you put on property on your name, that belongs to you. Whatever he gave you while you were married to him, that belongs to you. But more than that, now you can't claim from him. He has divorced you, now you can't claim anything from him. So the person asked me, but isn't Deen tells us that wherever we are living, we must follow the law of the land? We must follow the law of the land. Now who put this in her head? Her lawyer. The lawyer is telling her, no, you can sue him for this, sue him for that, sue him for that, sue him for this. She is saying, but Sharia don't allow. No, you have to follow the law of the land that you're living in. Sharia tells you, you must follow the law of the land you're living in. Where he got that from? So it shows he's not understanding his deen. Isn't it? He's not understanding his deen. Yes, we follow the law of the land where we're living. For example, you're driving on the road, you follow the laws of the road. You want to build a house, you follow all the laws of the country, whatever system they got, how you must build a house, you have to first submit a plan, you have to do this, do that, you follow that. You want to run a business, you run it according to the law of the land. But when it comes to those things that are in conflict with the Sharia, we won't follow the law of the land, we follow the Sharia. When it comes to inheritance, comes to these kind of things, comes to maintenance, comes to custody of the children, we have to follow the law of Sharia. We can't follow the law of the land. So this is what happens. The people don't understand the deen. They just start making their own thing. Now if that lady, if she has to sue the husband and she gets the things from the husband, now isn't she eating haram? She'll be eating haram. So in this letter, we see that Uthman radiallahu ta'ala was keen for the common folk of the ummah to follow that which is clear and not to make things complicated or introduce innovations. He warned them that the situation would change if three things happened together. The attainment of all kinds of luxuries, which would make people careless and make them enjoy ease and lose the incentive to strive hard. It would make them lazy and idle, so that they would lose their energy and resolve. When the children of their female slaves reached puberty, and during their history, the Ummah came to realize the effect that these people had on their Muslim society in political, social, and religious terms. And when the Bedouin and non-Arabs read the Quran Sharif, what Uthman radiallahu anhu meant by that was the harshness and hard-heartedness which is in the nature of the Bedouin. So the guidance of the Quran Sharif would not penetrate deep into their hearts. As for the non-Arabs, they had their legacy of deeply rooted traditions and beliefs and ancient customs that created a barrier between them and their being affected and guided by the Quran Sharif. You see that in, just see in our circles, right? Amongst the Indian Muslim, right? There are so many customs that came from Hinduism, Hindu customs, but they're still there in our lives. You see, you people are young, you may have not seen these things. In the old days, when people used to get married, they used to put garlands for them. For the groom, they put a garland with carnations and flowers and all they put on it. Right? Then they used to even make garlands of dried fruit and put on the people. All this was Hindu customs. Now currently we're following more Christian customs. Right? Then a lot of the bid'at, this walking on the fire, Muharram time and all. If you look into the Hindu, this thing, you'll find a lot of it in there. This tying, you see the Hindus, they tie the raksha thing. You'll find people involved in bid'at, day two, Muharram time, they're tying the thing on their hand. Lot of things you'll find from there, it came. Right? Then, how mother-in-laws treat daughter-in-laws, like slaves. Now, alhamdulillah, with the education, it's coming right. ulama educating. But in those days, the Dotonou couldn't say one word. That also came from Hinduism. Then, when the husband passes away, Islam teaches that after the iddat, the lady can get married again. But in the old people, it was like a taboo thing. How can you get married again? You're not keeping the izzat of your husband. It was like a totally taboo thing. That too came from Hinduism. Because in Hindu culture, the lady can't get married again. So there are a lot of things that came from Hindu culture. That's why in the Indian community also, they find it very hard to digest that a Muslim man can have four wives. Because in Hinduism, it's not allowed. But a rape of women is the highest in India. You know? Terrible. Very, very big problem in India. So a lot of things, now that is in the Indian community. You go to other communities, they will have their own things, their own customs that they brought into the deen. Innovations, etc. This is what Usman radiallahu anhu was referring to. Not that people mustn't learn the Quran Sharif. The influence of the Bedouin was manifested in the Khariji sect, who were a hard-hearted type of people. They read the Quran Sharif more than anyone else, yet they were the furthest removed from the hidayat in the Quran Sharif. Then came the influence of the non-Arabs with the innovations that they introduced and their complicated views and opinions, which had a very bad effect on the aqaid of the Muslims and from which stemmed the misguided sects who played such a dangerous role in Islamic history. You find all these Qadianis and Ismailis and Bhopalis and all these different sects came about. Khair, we'll stop there. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.